The Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will be traveling to Washington to speak before U.S. Congress next month at House Speaker John Boehner's request, despite calls to cancel his speech. Netanyahu has said, quote, "I am determined to go to Washington and present Israel's position before the members of Congress and the American people. Well, we ask, isn't that position already clear? That nuclear-armed Israel has said that Iran is after the nuclear bomb. And on Palestine, well, Israel has said, and it has been acting, that it's going to break international law because they've built more settlements, they've demolished more homes and olive trees, sometimes on a daily basis, while suppressing Palestinians, while gratuitously taking in the over $3 billion in U.S. aid, some accounts that could be higher." Well, Netanyahu's controversial visit to the U.S. is the subject of this edition of The Debate.
The Israeli Prime Minister has vowed to go ahead with a planned speech at the U.S. Congress next month, despite harsh criticism over the decision, both in Israel and the United States. Many have even called for the cancellation of the speech, whose main focus is set to be negotiations between Iran and the P5+1 group of countries. Those talks are aimed at resolving a long-running Western dispute over Tehran's nuclear energy program.
"I am determined to go to Washington and present Israel's position before the members of Congress and the American people."
The Israeli Prime Minister, who is preparing for general elections in mid-March, made the remarks for Likud party members during a campaign event near Tel Aviv. The invitation has been extended without consultation with the White House by Republican Speaker of the House of Representatives, whose party is in deep rivalry with President Obama's Democratic Party. The planned speech has caused a bitter war of words between the U.S. President and the Israeli Prime Minister.
"We have a practice of not meeting with leaders right before their elections, 2 weeks before their elections."
Many Democrats, including the U.S. Vice President, who is also the head of the Senate, have said they will skip this speech. The Israeli opposition has also described it as a strategic mistake by Netanyahu to accept the invitation.
"I've made it clear to in Israel, and I make it clear all over, that I think it's a strategic mistake."
The controversial planned visit has been the latest source of tension between the Obama administration and the authorities in Tel Aviv. The two sides are already at loggerheads over continued Israeli settlement activities in occupied Palestinian territories. The settlement activities, which are in breach of international law and condemned by the international community, have hindered the talks between the Israelis and the Palestinian Authority. During the upcoming speech, Netanyahu is expected to do his best to torpedo the nuclear negotiations by encouraging the parties involved in the talks to place Israel's claimed concerns about Iran above their own national interests.
Joining us for this edition of The Debate, Executive Director of Americans New, Allison Weir, joins us here in the studios. We have President of the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane, who joins us from Washington. I'd like to welcome both of our guests. Michael Lane, let me start with you. A simple question. Why has House Speaker John Boehner invited Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu to speak before Congress and not informed the White House about it?
Well, there's no doubt that there is a gigantic split between a bipartisan segment of Congress and the White House in terms of where the Iranian nuclear program negotiations are going with the G5+1. The rumors, unconfirmed, of course, at this point, because nothing official is released, is that the outcome of those negotiations, which President Obama is going to accept, will leave Iran with a robust domestic nuclear energy program, but one that can be turned into a nuclear weapons program on very short notice, should they decide to violate the agreement. No suggesting that they would, but it would allow them to do so, according to the rumors that we hear. I think that Speaker Boehner thought it would be important that the American people, who are mostly disengaged about the details of the discussions with the G5+1 and Iran over the nuclear program, would hear in a high-profile event Israel's perspective as to why a deal that would leave Iran close to a nuclear weapon would be a bad thing for our ally Israel and a bad thing for the United States. It's that reason why I believe Speaker Boehner decided to afford Prime Minister Netanyahu the grand stage of a joint session of Congress that would allow the American people to listen to the arguments and to hear firsthand the important issues and to make up their own mind prior to the time that President Obama would authorize signing of the interim agreement with Iran.
Okay. The rumors, Allison Weir, is something that Israel has capitalized on, including sources that Israel has influenced based on rumors that Iran is after the bomb. That has been fabricated. We have the laptop example. We have plenty of other manipulations, even AFP coming out with a chart. But this headline I found interesting. I'm going to ask your reaction on it. Iran's secret weapon, Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, and that's on the Prime Minister visiting, obviously, the White House to address Congress, I guess. By many counts, the camps that are saying that that Netanyahu is actually hurting himself in terms of trying to get his message out by accepting this invitation and going and addressing Congress when the time comes. Even within his circle, he's been criticized. Do you think that this is going to go against Netanyahu, especially when it comes to Iran?
I think it quite likely will. I think Netanyahu was actually playing politics. I think he was largely motivated by the election that's coming up. He wanted a forum in front of the United States to show how important he was, and I think he was expecting he would get those standing ovations that he got last time before our Congress that largely does what Israel tells it to do. I think that was his plan, but now it's not going the way he had expected it to go. There is some opposition. I think the opposition in Israel has seen this as an opportunity to show that Netanyahu is endangering the Israeli relationship with the United States. They're very worried about that because Israel is the tail wagging the American dog. And Netanyahu has, on occasion, wagged that tail so hard that he is in danger, Israelis feel, of waking up the American dog. And when the American population actually wakes up, learns what's been going on, how much of our money goes to Israel, how damaging that is to the American public and to the United States, that it is used in ways that violate our basic principles of fairness and justice, that could end, at some point will end, the special relationship. So I think the opposition has realized that about Mr. Netanyahu and is playing that up and is now using that against him with this very rare display of difference within the American political parties.
Michael, it's very interesting that you say that Netanyahu is going to go and address the American people. Well, Netanyahu himself has said that I'm going to present Israel's position before members of Congress and the American people. But isn't it true that even Israel's intelligence agencies have said on Iran that Iran does not have a nuclear program to divert into the bomb dimension, and also American intelligence services saying that Iran is not after a weaponized nuclear program. So based on those two accounts, what is Israel then and Netanyahu trying to do there?
Well, the first point, which is that Iran doesn't have a nuclear weapon now, I believe most intelligence services confirm that or they assess that to be true. Your second point, which is that Iran doesn't have nuclear weapon ambitions, I don't think that there's unanimity around the intelligence services of the world that part is true. I think there's very much a belief throughout much of United States intelligence that that is Iran's ultimate objective. But nonetheless, there's an old saying. I was in the military myself here, and the old saying is that capability implies intent. If you have the ability to achieve something, then you probably have the intent of doing so. And so if an agreement would leave Iran in a position where it was able to move quickly and unexpectedly in the direction of completing a nuclear weapons program, it must be assumed that that would be their intent to do so. And for that reason, much of the U.S. Congress has no confidence in the way the Obama administration has reportedly been conducting and agreeing to basic points in the negotiations with Iran over the nuclear program.
And talk about Americans, Allison Weir. I was pretty much very captivated by the title of this website that you have. And it says, Allison Weir, the cost of Israel to Americans, and then below that, below the piles of dollars there, many of the most serious dangers facing Americans today stem from our special relationship with Israel. Can you explain yourself on that?
Oh, yes, I'm happy to. Our so-called, well, it is a uniquely special relationship with Israel, in which the United States almost always, there are exceptions occasionally, does what Israel tells the United States to do. So one of the things that we do is we give Israel massive amounts of our tax money. Even when we are under financial pressures ourselves, many Americans are cutting back, important programs are being cut back. We continually give Israel far more money than we give anyone else on earth. Of course, that takes needed money away from our economy, especially at times when that money is necessary to Americans, when veterans need services, when seniors need services, when students are going to overcrowded schools. We send over $8 million per day to Israel. That's, I believe, on average per capita, 6,000 times more than others around the world get of American tax money. That's damaging. Israel, then, the way that it uses our money, continually violates both international law and U.S. laws. It uses it in ways to attack civilian populations, to attack children, to kill large numbers of children periodically in its various massacres against Gaza. That understandably creates hostility towards Americans, because we have supplied the money and in some cases the weapons for Israel to commit those massacres. That's very damaging to Americans. In addition, Israel has repeatedly spied on the United States more than any of our other allies. This has been noted by many American governmental institutions. It has on a number of occasions stolen our technology. Recently, there was some spying situation at Caltech and at the Jet Propulsion Institute in Pasadena. These are very important institutions to the United States. They were developing important space capabilities that an Israeli there took and transferred to Israel. This has happened on numerous occasions. Israel attacked a U.S. Navy ship, killed 34 Americans, injured over 170, has continued to pressure and to suppress information about that attack on a U.S. Navy ship. There are many ways that our support for Israel, our so-called special relationship to Israel, is extremely damaging to all Americans and hurts the United States of America.
Very well.